bro.
Okay, guys, welcome to another Cigar Chat, broadcast live on CigarFederation.com. Got folks joining us around the world from the Armed Forces Radio Network. We appreciate everything you guys are doing for us. We've got, let's see, so I'm Robbie Raz from Cigar Federation. Co-host Logan Lawler down there in hanging out in Texas. I forgot you had your theme music.
I do. I would be like Peter, man, walking down the street with my theme music. Okay. All
right.
That's enough.
Yeah. You've reached your. You get five of them, and I think you just used all five. So today, joining us today, we've got Michael Giannini from La Gloria Cubana. Michael, thank you for taking the time to chat with us today.
Robbie, it's absolutely my pleasure. Logan, bro, keep playing that music.
I'm going to love you already, sir.
There you go.
I'm going to love it.
So we've got a lot to cover, so we're going to jump right in. We've got a ton of questions. We've been hitting it pretty hard on the social aspect of things. We've got a lot of giveaways to get through, and so we don't really have too much time to waste with Logan and his sound effects, so we're just going to jump right in. Michael, we've got people watching live on CigarFederation.com. We've got people that have downloaded our podcast from iTunes, people listening on AFRN around the world. Give them just a little bit of background on La Gloria Cubana and some of the stuff you guys are working on and some of your history in the industry.
All right, so let me start my history. So born and raised in Philly, my path in life was to either be a chef or get a PhD in psychology. I took the path to get a PhD in psychology. So what happened was for Apollyonna one year, the head chef gave me 10 Macanudo Portofinos, which kind of started my trek to a local store in Bucks County called the Chamonix Mall. There's a tobacco shop there. I was in there every Friday. And after about the third month, I was like clockwork. And the owner was a young guy. This is 1983. He was a young guy, and he's like, hey, man, I just bought this store. I'm looking for a guy to work part-time. And I'm like, bro, I'm there. So literally what I was doing was teaching during the day, working on my master's at night. I was a chef on the weekends, and I started working as a tobacconist behind the counter, blending pipe tobaccos, learning about cigars before, gosh, the whole cigar boom came. And little by little, we ended up buying a store together, and then I ended up, as a partner, we ended up buying an independent manufacturer's route, so I would travel from Philly, cover 22 states, and a car, no cell phones, a map, calling cards, and pay phones, which was a ton of fun. imagine doing that now, but I was on the road for 3 weeks at a shot, 3,000 miles per clip. It was great because when I was a retailer, I knew what was going on in that world, and I was a great travel agent with the accounts that I was seeing. I got to see a bit of the country. Anyhow, so I wanted to move on from being an independent manufacturer's rep. I ended up working for a cigar company based out of Philadelphia, moved to Tampa. Everybody knew me, did very well, ended up becoming national sales manager for La Gloria Cubana in 2000. That same year, General Cigar and Swedish Match merged. A year later, I was traded to General Cigar, became a marketing guy. Didn't have a clue what marketing was, but I had a ton of ideas. Got to work under Ernesto Perez Carrillo for about 10 years, mentored under him, and I thought I knew a lot about the cigar business, not until I met him. And that's when I got into the factories, and I think he got frustrated with me because I would ask him a million questions about every process. So him and I worked together as a great team. He left in 2009. I had a lot of ideas at that point. I don't know how many years I was into it, but a lot of years. And I just started to put things into motion of things I wanted to do. And current day, titles, I don't really care about titles, but I work on innovations for La Gloria Cubana and the rest of General Cigar Brands, and also Foundry Tobacco Company, which is my baby, which is kind of another thing. So La Gloria and Foundry are kind of my bailiwick right now, and that's what I do.
That was impressive. You went.
I know. You did your whole life story in 5 minutes. Last week, it took the guy 45 minutes. We talked about freaking labels. It's unreal.
Well, thank you. Well, so at the end result, so I never got a PhD in psychology, but I think I'm working on my PhD in cigars. And September 9th was my 32nd year in the cigar industry. So
wow.
When and I'm a young guy. In my terms, I'm a young guy. But what's cool about it is, you know, it's learning the business from the ground up and working my way through it, being a sales guy, being a retailer, and being a national sales manager, being a marketing guy. I mean, that really filled in all my life, which is kind of why I think I'm good at what I do right now. So it's been fun. It's been a fun ride. I'm living the time of my life right now and having a lot of fun. So Team Old Glory came into play. We have Dave Pace here. He's in the background. He's part of our team. I've got Judy Guillen, who's based out of the Dominican Republic, and I've got Leo Peraza. He's only been rolling cigars for about 55 years. So,
oh my God. Yeah. Is he going to retire?
Yeah, no, he's not allowed to.
Lifetime contract.
And exactly.
I like how you said you got traded, too. That was good. You put things – I'm a baseball guy, so you put things into my terms there. You were traded. So congratulations, 32 years. That's impressive. That's longer than Logan's been alive.
Really?
Dude, I hate you, asshat.
I'm officially the old guy on this.
No, that's impressive, man.
My beard is young.
No, kudos to you. That's and yeah, you've been through. I mean, in those 32 years, you've seen a lot in this industry. I mean, things like you said, you know, before the boom, during the boom, after the boom. Now we've got a kind of a semi boom, depending on who you ask or how you want to talk about it. But that's some serious time. Wow, good for you.
Yeah.
Well, we are we're here. We're obviously gonna cover a lot of stuff. We'll talk about La Gloria. We'll probably touch on Foundry a little bit. Right now, I'm smoking the La Gloria. Ooh, my video is always backwards on me. I don't know if you can see that. I'm outside. My lighting's just horrible. But it's the Siri R Esteli. This is your newest release. B&M specific. So it's not something you guys can buy online. But it is. I'm about 15-20 minutes into it. Hit me with a ton of spice right up front.
I told you.
A ton of spice. Like it got my attention. I mean, when you say it's a Nicaraguan cigar, obviously you're expecting a certain amount of spice. But that it definitely got my attention right off the bat. And Logan was right. I'm more of a medium-bodied, full-flavored guy. So to hit me with that much spice, I started to get a little bit worried. I'm not gonna lie. But it has smoothed out actually within the last few minutes. Lots of nice earthy notes. Some kind of a leathery, almost a little bit of like a bittersweet chocolate in there. I always go for I'm always reaching for the sweet notes that I can find in the cigar. So sometimes I might find some that aren't really there. Maybe I make them up in my head. But so far it's definitely been a lot of flavor right off the bat for sure. So we'll touch on it. I know Logan's smoking the same thing. We'll touch on it as we go through. But let's see. I'm gonna jump right in and get. Well, you know, before we get into the questions, already.
I figured we'd just go ahead and knock it out. You know,
Logan has to remind me. Yeah. Logan has to remind me every time we need to remind everybody. You're listening to Cigar Chat. We're hosted live on CigarFederation.com, broadcast around the world on Armed Forces Radio Network. Thanks for tuning in. We're here with Michael Giannini from La Gloria Cubana. So let me touch on these giveaways. We've got three boxes of the Siri R Esteli that I'm smoking tonight. We're going to give two of them away during the show. And then we've got one that we've got a giveaway on the site. So if you missed out on one during the show, you still got a few hours after that to get in on that giveaway. We've also got, and these things are sweet. Just got these in today. I got them from the La Gloria guy shipped them to me. Now this is, you guys call it a travel humidor. Now, I would almost treat this as almost like a desktop humidor. It's got wood grain on the outside. It's got the logo right there. Pop this thing open. And you can probably fit about 25 sticks in here. I don't know, depending on what size. But these things are really nice. We've got three of these to give away as well. So we'll get on that as we go. Logan, you got anything you want to add? That was the most I've talked in, I think, any show that we've done.
No, man, you're great. You look good. Your beard's filling in nicely. Way to support Movember. Mine's pretty scruffy looking.
When puberty hits, that thing's really going to take off.
Dude.
Let me start. Yeah. We've got like six pages.
We've got so many questions.
Six pages of questions, so I'm going to jump right in.
Let's go.
We start off with Explosive Donut, still my favorite handle on the site. That's Explosive Donut. He says, how does the La Gloria Cubana Cuban and non-Cuban differ? Are they considered the same brands, or rather is it two sides of the same coin?
Well, what's funny about that is actually La Gloria actually made the Cuban version very popular when La Gloria in the early 90s started to have this meteoric rise. I don't ever have anybody compare La Gloria Cubana made in the Dominican Republic and now made in Nicaragua compared to anything in Cuban. So that's not an issue for us. I mean, I think what we've tried to do is try to make a better Cuban cigar. because we have resources, we have tobaccos, we have better tobaccos. I mean, you hear stories about Cuba. Some of the greatest cigars I've smoked have been Cuban, and some of the worst cigars in my life I've smoked are Cuban. So.
Yep.
And that's what that's what it is. When you don't have the resources and you're cutting, so that's their issue. I don't really worry about that. But, I mean, I think La Gloria stands on its own. It's got a very signature taste. I think everything that we try to blend going forward always has a La Gloria signature profile. Mm-hmm. And that's what we always try to achieve. And I think we accomplished that with Serie R Estelí. I mean, and Serie R Black, which is the other one that's available on the internet catalog. I'm really super happy with this blend. I mean, it's a great story how we got to it, and I'm sure we'll cover it later. But that's basically what La Gloria is.
Okay.
Read the Supreme Court case, Donut. You'll learn all about it. Hey, it's a famous Supreme Court case.
Oh, okay, yep. Yeah. That's good.
I was in law school for a year. So.
Were you really?
I know. Can you freaking believe it?
Absolutely not.
And you wouldn't believe it. I actually was like top of my class, and then it's a long story.
Okay, we'll cover that later on our Christmas
episode. We'll cover that. Yeah, maybe.
The Christmas episode is going to be fun.
It'll be sentimental.
So kind of a follow-up to that, and I know we're going to talk more about the Estelí. Do you guys have any plans in releasing the Series R Estelí or the Black in smaller ring gauges, like a Corona, something like that?
Well, so, you know, with Serie R, and everybody asked me this, what Serie R stands for. Serie R stands for Robusto, right? And a Robusto to us is basically a 50 and up ring gauge. Mm-hmm. So to do something smaller, I don't think you get the amount of tobacco and the flavors that we're looking for with the Serie R taste profile. And that's kind of where we've always stuck with that. So to do a 48 ring and a Serie R, sure. But, I mean, Serie R set the trend for bigger ring gauges, big beefy cigars. And that's kind of where we want to be with that.
Okay. Fair enough. That's
so the answer is no.
Okay. The answer is no. That's good. We got a question here from Donald. Donald, I always butcher your last name, so I'm just going to say Donald.
The guy from Maine. Yeah. The Great White North.
The guy from Maine. He says, do you blend cigars for yourself, or do you blend for what's popular? That's a question we ask a lot.
Yeah, always for ourselves. I mean, again, what's cool about this for us is that we have a vast resources of tobaccos. What I'm able to do is I'm able to take the best of General Cigar and kind of make it my own. I have a very small team that I work with. And what we do is we always try to move the envelope. Innovation to us is about tobaccos and packaging and all that. And that's what the thing with Serie R has been. We've tried to push the envelope with getting the best tobaccos, really getting a specific taste. You know, what's kind of awe-inspiring is when you're working on this and it's five guys that I'm working with, I mean, it's our palates that are going to decide what's coming out into the marketplace. And I don't know any other way to do it. I don't really worry about what's going on in the marketplace or trends. I know what's going on. But we try to blend the best damn cigar. And the theory to me is I have this potato chip theory, okay? And what the thing about potato chips, and this is what I know, we don't get into...
All right, sorry about that, guys. We got to feed the hamsters to keep the wheels going. I stole that from David. But, okay, so potato chip story. Go ahead.
And go.
So potato chip story is this, right? You get a bag of potato chips. My favorite are sea salt and vinegar. Mm-hmm. And you know what? You get the bag, and you're like, I'm just going to eat one or two of them. And so what you end up doing is, God, I ate the whole bag. For me, when we work on blends and we know we've nailed something, to me, it's like I can't wait to smoke another one even though I haven't finished this one. And then I want to smoke another one after that and then smoke another one after that. And then when I'm going to bed at night, I'm sleeping on it. And then the next morning, I can't wait to light up another one. So that's our gauge that we know that we found this cigar because everybody keeps talking about it. And so we keep smoking it to see if it's real. And that's the potato chip theory. So, I mean, it's that simple because if you start thinking about, oh, my God, I don't know if this guy's going to like it or this guy or this market's going to like it, then you're lost. And so for us, it's about the potato chip theory.
Okay. No, that's a good way to explain it. I'm the same way with chips, man. Salty snacks and me, I go through the whole thing. Same with Cheez-Its, too. So this is actually kind of a follow-up question to that. This one is from Fat Kid, one of our favorites.
Fatty. He says
there seems to be a lot of pressure to launch blends quickly, launch new blends quickly. Being a larger company, do you feel that same pressure that maybe some of the smaller companies do, or do you rely on your more core lines since they're more established?
So, you know, the only way I can answer this is this, that the Serie R Estelí has been a project that I've been working on for 2 years, And part of it was getting the right tobacco and specifically the right wrapper. And so I don't feel that pressure. I think the core brands that we have in our company and in La Gloria Cabana are mainstays. I think people go back to those. What I see is guys are just launching tons of stuff, and I think it's kind of great for the industry. But problem is the resources of tobaccos at times, it's not always there. You can't maintain the quality of the blends. You've got to ferment this stuff. So to make a lot of cigars, you got to have enough of this tobacco first, and then you got to have enough of this tobacco in fermentation. Fermentation doesn't happen in 30 days. It takes a lot of time to ferment tobacco in a pilon. And so, you know, you get darker wrappers, you get lighter wrappers, the fillers, you know, there's always incidences happen. So I don't ever feel that pressure. Strategically, I like to do stuff that I think is right for the brand and then not worry about anything else after that. So, no, I don't feel that pressure.
Okay. No, that's a good, concise answer.
I got a question.
Oh, go ahead. Yeah.
Sorry. Every five questions the audience asks, I get asked one asinine question. And this being from my corporate background, so I do work in a once, you know, Fortune 50 company, now private. You can probably figure out which one it is. And I find it very interesting because we do have a lot of, you know, boutique companies. And I think you've kind of alluded to this, but just in general, are decisions that are made more in a corporate structure where there's kind of governance and sign off, or is it, hey, I have this project, I want to do it, I have the ability to go do what I want right now?
Yeah, it's a little bit of both, but I mean, you know, I have some very smart people that work in our company, and when I work on projects, they always get green-lighted, but because they make sense for the brand. I mean, I'm not the kind of guy that's going to launch something if I don't feel comfortable with it, or my team, and it's got to make sense for what we're trying to do. So, I mean, honestly, you're not going to see a La Gloria Cabana big launch next year. We have some other interesting things that we're coming out with, but I don't feel that pressure. I think that, you know, if that's what you're trying to do, then the love of tobacco and the love of the cigar premium industry is not what you're trying to do. I mean, I've got a reputation with the brand that I have to maintain, and even with what I'm doing with Foundry. I mean, these projects don't happen in a month or 2 months. I mean, I've been working on stuff that's going to get launched this year that I've been working on for 2-3 years. And all of this stuff, the blends have to be right, the packaging has to be right, the sense of it has to be right. I mean, all that stuff is very well thought out. And what I do personally is I think all this stuff in my head, and once I work it out in my head, then it gets on the paper, and then we go. So that takes a long time. And the problem is I never sleep, so I'm always
thinking. Neither do I.
I've realized that the cigar industry is a good industry for vampires. It doesn't seem like anybody sleeps.
Yeah,
and nobody answers their emails either. Or replies to all. That's so annoying. I'm sorry just to go on a rant, but
yeah.
God, nobody replies to all. And I do have a quick follow-up question from Joe Jordan here. And this is a great question. I think it kind of piggyback well. You know, how does having kind of the scale and resources of a large company like General kind of help your brand? And does any of it being part of General actually hurt your company in any way?
Here's the scenario I'm going to paint for you. I have an opportunity with resources, people, and tobacco. And I get to do my own thing within La Gloria Cabana and Foundry. And I get to launch stuff when it's appropriate. And all I have to worry about is creating and designing and innovating. That's all I have to worry about. And so to have this great company behind me, and to be able to tap into tobaccos and three factories, one in Dominican, Honduras, and Nicaragua, and have football fields worth of tobacco inventories, and to tap into that, and also the opportunity for us to go out and purchase more tobacco, I think that's a dream position.
I would agree.
Yeah. Because you know, what's cool for me is it's about quality, and so when we're down in the factories, my guys, we're all on the same team, and we're all trying to put out the best product, and I rely on those guys tremendously. Johnny Diaz and Judy Guillen and Francisco Rodriguez and Abel Cruz. I mean, Edmundo Garcia, one of our tobacco buyers. I mean, these guys work their butts off, and they're always trying to bring great things to the marketplace. And Edwin Guevara and Augustine and Ramon Bueso, all these guys in Honduras and Nicaragua, Hector Venegas, I need to give a shout-out to because this is my team. Dave Pace here in Richmond with me. I mean, these guys really help us extend what we do, and it's a beautiful position to be in.
It's awesome.
I was talking with my mic.
Oh, come on, Rob.
I'm such a rookie. just a reminder, guys, you're listening to Cigar Chat, hosted live on CigarFederation.com, broadcast worldwide on the Armed Forces Radio Network. We're here with Michael Giannini from La Gloria Cubana. I've actually got a follow-up question. You were talking about purchasing of tobaccos. This is from one of our moderators, Matt Ross. He says, what's the most difficult thing about choosing and acquiring tobaccos for your cigars? Are there times when you have a blend but are unable to get enough of that tobacco to really bring something to market?
Yes. And that happens quite a bit. And so that's where I look at small batches. That's where I kind of use some of this stuff for Foundry Tobacco Company. I mean, again, just kind of break off of La Gloria. I mean, the whole idea behind Foundry Tobacco Company and the Foundry brand is I was able to tap in tobaccos that had never been used in the industry. And the quick story there is that our tobacco buyers for the last 25 years have been buying experimental tobacco, and they've been putting them in an area in one of our warehouses. And they've been buying tobaccos that I can't even pronounce, and they've been buying tobaccos that they thought they were going to use for projects but never grew. The growers never grew it. And so when I was working on Foundry, I said to the guys, hey, man, I need tobacco that's never been used. And they're like, come here. I want to show you this section over here. And there's 5 bales of this, 10 bales of this, 20 bales of this. And I was able to tap into it and put blends together with my team to create blends and taste profiles that have never been used in the industry. That talks to resources. That talks to exotic tobacco. So that's something in the past. What we're looking for now and why it took Ciriar Esteli and Ciriar Black so long to find is 2-year project, couldn't find the right wrapper, couldn't find I wanted to go to Nicaragua, couldn't find a wrapper. Finally, it appeared our tobacco buyers bought some stuff. They knew I was looking for stuff, looked at it, we fell in love with it, and that's where the project finally took off. So, yeah, I mean, we're looking at some really exotic, bizarro places that our buyers scour the earth. We have 3 people that scour the earth for this tobacco, and God, it's pretty amazing when they bring stuff because it's like Christmas time, man. They bring tobacco, and it's like, what do you think of this? I'm like, when's it going to be ready? Well, not for another 6 months. All right, bro, you just deflated me. But, I mean, that's cool because, you know, we have a lot of the tobaccos in the industry, and, you know, we get stuff from all over the place. When we look at it, it's green, and we got people sending up stuff, and it's like, yeah, this is crap. And so it's neat to have those experts in each one of these things because it saves us time. That I don't have to learn about every new tobacco out there. They bring it to me, they explain it to me. We have a farm in the Dominican Republic where we're growing, I don't know how many plants of experimental stuff. I looked at it last August, and I was there in October, and I'm like, hey, guys, when is this stuff ready? And I'm like, yeah, again, another 6 months. So that's the next crop of stuff that we have proprietary to General Cigar that I can't wait to get my hands on. Pretty fun stuff.
Yeah, just to kind of a follow-up there, you talked about bales of tobacco, 5 bales of this, 6 bales of that. Give our listeners who may not know, may not have that insight, what are we talking about when you talk about a bale of tobacco? I mean, how many cigars are we talking about you could get out of a bale?
Roughly, I mean, you could get probably about 3,000 cigars out of a 120-pound bale of tobacco, and it depends on yield. So as this tobacco is older, you know, some of it's thin, some of it's you know, as you go through and sorting process and getting the yields out of it, you don't always get what you think you're going to get. And the cool thing about that is once it's gone, it's gone. I mean, it's not going to be grown again because the growers that we partner up with and or the growers that are out there don't see that, yeah, I don't see a need for this. And that's what I'm always seeking. And that's what our guys are always seeking. So they know that I'm always looking for bizarre stuff. And that's cool. A bale is not a lot of cigars. 5 bales is not a lot of cigars. 10 bales is not a lot of cigars. So it's really neat what you can do with stuff that you've never used before. And I always use this analogy when I'm a chef. I mean, the coolest thing to do when you're a master is that you open up your refrigerator, there's a piece of meat, a pineapple, cream cheese, and an onion, make a dish. And that's kind of what we try to do with these small bales. Because what I don't want to do is I don't want to smoke fumas where you take a little bit of tobacco out and taste it for the characteristics and the aroma and the strength. We don't do that now with this exotic tobacco. We just try to put stuff together and see what the end result is because we're working with ingredients we've never used before, and that's really what makes it fun for us.
Yeah, there seems to be a lot of corollaries between, you know, a business like this and being a chef, and you really kind of take those pieces. And I mean, I'm a graphic designer by trade, and whenever I get time to actually do that, it's fun to take all those different all the just little different pieces and make kind of create your vision. So I can hear where you're coming from there. Got an interesting question here from Mark Vandersleis.
Mark V.
Mark V. Sorry, Mark. It's an interesting question. He says, have you ever scrapped a blend and then had seen something very similar to what you scrapped come out in the industry and be successful?
No. You know, when we go through alliterations of blends, I mean, we know what tobaccos we're using, basically. So, like Esteli, we know we wanted to use a Nicaraguan Puro, all from the same country. I mean, that gets weeded out with the team as we're smoking cigars. If we don't like them, we're not bringing them to market. And I don't really worry about what other manufacturers are doing. I respect and admire these guys. But, you know, we're in our own little boat, just kind of focusing on what we're trying to do. But if it doesn't pass this test of five guys that don't like this blend, what's the point? What's the point of bringing it out? Didn't pass our taste. So kudos if another manufacturer goes out there and does it and it's successful. It wasn't for us. So I don't worry about stuff like that.
Yeah, no, that's a refreshing answer, actually. I mean, I think people get some of the ideas when you're talking about the bigger companies like yourselves. there could be that view that, well, there's, you know, if we've got something and it's smokable, we'll come out with it. You know, maybe we'll just whatever just to make a buck. But to have to get an answer like that, well, you guys aren't going to come to market with a product that you don't believe in 100%. That's refreshing.
Thank you. But see, being in the industry this long, Robbie, I mean, and Logan, that's the way that we think. That's the way that I think. I mean, listen, to me, it's all about karma. It's got to have great karma from the thought process to, you know, the packaging to, most importantly, the blend. And if the blend isn't right and we're not feeling it, you don't bring it out because you know it's going to fail in the marketplace. And I've been through that with other companies that I've worked for, where I'm like, hey, this ain't the blend, and it's like, but there's a different, you know, deal that's going on there. And I'm like, okay, well, I'm not in a position to empower that or dispower it. So, I mean, that's my deal.
Okay. No, I like that answer. Logan, I'm going to throw it over to you. You've been quiet.
I've got a lot of questions. So, Harley Holmes, my boy, has a question for you. Do you think the quote-unquote boutique cigar boom has helped or hurt you guys as a company?
I think, you know, here's how I'm going to answer this. What the iPhone and the iPad have done, and they're two products I love, so no offense to any Galaxy users, Samsung or whatever.
What about Dell?
My mentality is the world has shrunk in that what everybody's looking for individually is to be important in their own lives. So when you find something on clothes or beer or spirits that is unique and different than what you're used to doing, that's a really cool thing. So for us, it's kind of, you know, it's really intriguing. But that's the world we live in right now. And so, you know, I get emails and I look on Facebook, and it's just so cool to see some very unique things that, man, that's cool, that you can't see in the department store, you can't see somewhere else. So, I mean, I applaud this movement of boutiques, but I don't think it's specific to the cigar category. I think it's craft beers have really done that. Whiskeys have done that. Bourbon, moonshine's new right now. I mean, look at all the vineyards in California and the wines that are coming out. Some really interesting things out there. So to be a consumer in this premium cigar category right now is a really exciting time. So has it hurt us? I don't think it has. I think it's made it more important. I think what's not good is there's a proliferation of these guys getting in there that are either in it for the love of cigars or that they think they can make a quick buck. I've seen that during the cigar boom. Those guys basically disappeared. And who votes on that is you guys out there in the Cigar Federation. It's consumers out there decide that, hey, man, I don't get why I'm spending this amount of money for this cigar. It really doesn't live up to it. So, I mean, that's kind of my perspective on it.
I think it's an interesting take. I mean, because I think that, you know, letting the consumer ultimately decide, I mean, ultimately the market will weigh in on, you know, what's good and what's bad and weed those people out. So I had a follow-up question here, and I thought it was from Officer Paul. He's on Half-Ashed all the time, but I've never seen him on Cigar Chat, so boo to you. But now I'm happy that you're here, so thank you. Officer Paul asked, he said the newest cigar that we started talking about tonight, the Lagro Cubana, the Series R Esteli, is a B&M specific. He says he lives 3 hours from the closest B&M and 4 to 5 hours from the nice shop. He goes, why did you decide to launch that cigar only in brick and mortars versus making it available to people who are online and don't have access to a B&M?
Well, first, Officer Paul, thank you for your duty. Second of all, I want to just say, you know, so the story behind Esteli is this. 2-year project, couldn't find the right wrappers, couldn't find the tobacco. I decided that I wanted to move La Gloria Cubana out of the home of the Dominican Republic. We had acquired this Esteli factory about 3 years ago. I really wanted to do a project out of there because I thought it would be kind of really cool. The thought process to me was this. On the mountainside in the Jalapa Valley, there's this guy that we found who has 5 farms. None of them are connected. And this is very unique and proprietary to us. And each of these farms produces a very specific type of wrapper. And there were 2 wrappers that we fell in love with. So what we got down to that I couldn't decide. Let me leave it there for a second. The idea was that then I would pull it into the valley, pull the fillers and binders, and then pull it right into our SLE factory. And the idea was that, you know, people have gardens in their back house. I'm going to make a salad tonight. I'm going to pick a couple tomatoes. I grew, and I'm going to put it in my house, and I'm going to eat it that night. That was kind of the thought that I had in my head. Why we went both channels, the internet for black and Esteli for brick and mortar, was a decision based on we couldn't decide which one we liked better. And we said, I'm not going to use the word we're not allowed to use. Screw it. We're going to go bring out both. And so why we did that was it just made more sense. I mean, we're a big supporter of brick and mortar. The internet and catalog guys are more big supporters of them as well. I thought it would be very interesting to do 2 similar but very different types of blends for both of these accounts because the brick and mortar guys, retailers, which are great, great people, they're small mom and pop stuff, and I didn't want them to compete with the internet, and the internet has its own world, and I wanted them to compete in their own world. And so that was why we went there. Again, I mean, a 3-hour trip. I'm sure you got some friends that live close to this brick and mortar, Officer Paul. Have them do you a big one and just say, hey, go pick me up a box, I'll pay. That's what the cigar community does. So that's how that came around. And it was really a function of we loved these both blends and we couldn't decide. We had 2 bags of potato chips and we loved eating both of them, and that's what we got to with these blends. So that's how that came to fruition.
Very interesting. I mean, I haven't seen a lot of, you know, companies that do that because, I mean, honestly, in the industry, now that we have our, you know, our store at store.cigarfederation.com, shameless plug, we definitely get it's definitely interesting seeing that side of the business because there is quote unquote some tensions between online, you know, retailers and then, you know, brick and mortars just because, you know, their cost margins and stuff like that. So I think it's very interesting that you decided to do that. And my follow up question would be, if you can share with us, how has the sales been in each? Cause I would have my guess of which one would be selling more, but if you can share which one has been selling better, maybe worse, better than your expectations or worse than your expectations.
You know, We thought that, you know, we would do well. It exceeded our expectations. I mean, both are blowing up in a great way for us. It's been a wonderful, fantastic karmic kind of move that we created with this. I am shocked how well we've done with it. I think the team is as well. Yeah, they're both doing very well. I mean, and what's interesting too is that if you don't have an internet account, and I know a lot of consumers do that, they buy stuff on the internet. I buy stuff on the internet all the time because I can't always get what I'm looking for, and it's easier to just, you know, go on a computer and find stuff. I mean, it's kind of interesting what I'm seeing is I'm seeing some brick-and-mortar guys order from the internet catalogers to carry it in their store, Serie R Black, because we have consumers asking for it, and I see vice versa. So it's actually worked out really well. It's really great for the brand. I recommend that you try both because you will be shocked how good these are. If you tried Esteli, wait till you try Black. It's similar but very different. And that's what's kind of come out of this. So, again, I talk about karma. I think, you know, God shone on us and said, you know what, dude, I'm going to screw with you. I got 2 great blends. You aren't going to be able to decide this is the right move. And that's how this came out. So, I mean, I want to take credit for, yeah, that was the plan from the get-go, but I wouldn't be honest about that.
Well, okay. I would have took credit, but hey, neither here nor there.
That's not me. I mean, I don't listen, it's not just me, it's my team, and it just happened that way, and it was the right move. You know, when you're sitting there with 2 cigars that you really love, what do you do? I mean, there's not a book you pull off the shelf and said, okay, when you're in this situation, do this. You know, we just thought about it and talked about it and like, you know what, we should do both. We love these blends. We need to bring these out into the marketplace. And that's what was the right move right now. So, yeah. And then the next question you're probably going to ask, are you going to see Serie A Estilia online? No. Are you going to see a Serie A Black sold at Brick and Mortar? No.
That was actually going to be my next follow-up question next year. See if they switched or something.
Nope.
Okay.
Nope. Not going to happen.
Okay. Well, my hat's off to you, sir.
Thank you.
And with that being said, you're welcome. Rob, shameless plug.
All right, guys, you're listening to Cigar Chat. I feel like I've said this a lot today. On CigarFederation.com, broadcast worldwide on Armed Forces Radio Network. We're here live with Michael Giannini from La Gloria Cubana. I'm going to jump back in. I've got a ton of questions. I don't think there's any way we're going to get through all these, so I'm just going to pick and choose. What do you got?
We can do another one of these, bro.
I think we're going to have to. I think we're going to get through these questions. I've got five pages, and we're only on page two.
Wow. So I'll keep my answers very, very short.
No. I like the way you're answering the questions. You're being very forthright. I appreciate that. This is a little bit – it's on topic, but a little bit off. This comes from Davis. He says, who was the genius who thought up the trapezoidal – that's a word, right? Box. He says the box opens like a cornucopia. It tilts toward the customer. Perfect for display. Unique. Tell us a story about that.
Okay. So before I do that, I want to give a shout out to Ryan Wellner. He's part of our La Gloria Society. He's online. So Ryan, great seeing you at the Big Smoke, and thank you for your support and your service, most importantly. So the idea behind this. There is a monument. Here's a restoration monument in the Dominican Republic, and I've driven by this thing a couple hundred times. And I wanted every time I see that monument on the way into the factory, I'm like, dude, I'm in the Dominican. I'm going to the factory. I'm going to see my guys. I'm going to hear the chavetas clang on the table. I'm going to get to smoke some blends. I'm going to go look at tobacco. And so one day I just basically said, I want to make a cigar that looks like that because I really want to pay homage to the guys in our Dominican factory. So I went into the factory. I didn't say hello to anybody. I need paper. I need a pen. I need to draw you a cigar I want to do. And I drew this trapezoidal cigar, and the guys looked at me like they always do, like I'm a bit out of my mind, and I'm like, we got to make this. And they fought me with it. I said, I'm going to be back in 3 months. I need you guys to make me this cigar. No, there's no way we can do this. So I come back in January. They have a cigar mold with a trapezoid cigar that one of the guys made in his garage at his house in the Dominican Republic. And it was a two-finger mold, and it had screws and bolts on it. I'm like, see, you guys could do this. What happened was that this was the easy part. Actually trying to make the cigars, and I could tell that story. It might take a little bit longer, but I'm not going to say it right now. The box, though, to me, when I laid the cigars out, it just fanned out. And I'm like, I need a half-moon box. And I drove my box factory nuts because – my box maker is like, you're out of your mind. Do you know what we have to do with bending the wood and making it round and doing this and that? And I'm like, bro, let me tell you something. This is one of my famous lines. We put a Mars rover on Mars, and you're telling me you can't make this box.
I love it.
Yeah.
I love it.
And he said to me, do you know what I have to do to build? Bro, I don't want to know how to drive the car, to build a car. I just want to get in and drive. Just make me this box. It's not that hard.
Yep.
I had agita being in Italian because I understood what he was saying. But I didn't want to lead on I get it's more difficult. And I didn't want to leave him off the hook because I know my box maker, Eduardo Deprat, is a master. And I call Maestro de Caja. And so I came back a month later and he had a box for me. And that's really a tribute to where he came with. But it was just like looking at the cigars, the way they fan out. I thought it was a beautiful presentation. I thought it was just so, so cool. So that's where that came from. The Esteli box, just kind of jump on that. The Esteli box, which I wanted to get back to of how I pulled stuff out of the factory, that box, that V-design box, is something I've been looking at for 5 years. And the reason that box is designed that way is that when a roller takes a cigar off the table, either they leave them on the table or we had this unit that was shaped like this. And there was always a canvas piece in that. And where they would lay the cigars in. So after they got a wheel, 50 cigars, they would tie this off and it would go into quality control. And I looked at this box and looked at this box and I'm like, oh my God, this Esteli box is what this should be. Because same theory, off the mountain, into the valley, into the factory, I wanted this box to reflect that the cigars are off the table and they're in this beautiful box that you would see that's authentic to a cigar factory in our general cigar factories. And so that's where that design came from. I know you didn't ask that question, but I just wanted to throw that in there.
No, I love it. I think it's,
I like it's all Mars. Organic. I mean, all that stuff kind of, you know, when you're looking at this stuff, you just kind of look at it and like, yeah, this is the way the box should look.
Yeah, it's funny how some of that stuff works. And like, I mean, obviously Davis, who asked that question, was he loves it. It sounds like he's a shop owner, given the way that he talked about the way that it displays the cigars. But
and what's funny about this, I had a lot of flack when we launched this at our trade show that year because I was like, it's not going to fit on my shelf. And I'm like, Mr. Retailer, have you ever seen anything so cool in your life? This box will fit on your shelf. Just the idea that this was kind of very different is what I like to do. I like to do stuff that hasn't been done before because it interests me, and I think it interests all the cigar guys that are watching this on Cigar Federation. I think it's just a cool, cool box. And if you haven't smoked a blend, it is a little firecracker of a blend. It's a great blend that my guys in the factory came up with. I will tell the story how we got to the cigars because the box factory was one episode that happened. The cigar making was another episode, and the making and getting the molds made was another episode, which is kind of hysterical. But I had a lot of agita through this project. And result, I ended up getting patents on the mold, the box, and the cigar.
Wow.
Nice.
So, wow. Yeah. Okay, so this kind of leads into it's we're going to talk about a different cigar here for a second, but you like to talk about things that you know you guys do that maybe not many other companies are doing. Maybe you've done it for the first time. Dave Nichols, another friend of the show, he says, how have the smokable bands been working out? And do you guys still make them? Now, you guys, I've seen those are on the trunk shows.
Yeah.
I think those are the only ones that you use them on, correct?
That's it. We have a cutout band and we have a stamp band. And if what I love to do is I'm most comfortable in the cigar factory and I'm most comfortable in cigar stores and around cigar smokers. The stamp band was an idea that I was talking to a consumer a bunch of years ago, and he's like, hey, has you ever thought of that? And I'm like, no, bro, that's freaking brilliant. It took me a year and a half to figure out how to do this. We had to go to a machine shop, I think it was Minnesota, that we drove nuts as well. And that's kind of like the common theme when I work on projects. I drive people nuts, but the end result is that they end up really getting behind this. This machine weighs about 10,000 pounds to cut these out. And so we'll love doing that. The stamp band to me was another idea. Again, you look at this cutout band, it's like, well, why can't we do a stamp band? And so that's how those two things came to life. The finding the right materials to stamp it so when you smoked it, it was safe, and also that it would leave the image of the La Gloria Lady in the ash of the cigar was just really cool. And so what was cool about both of these projects was that it takes forever to make these. And it's all out of tobacco, and it's very delicate, and so we only want to keep these for trunk show. We launched a second version. So what I did this year was, because I'm never happy with the way it looked, last year was just a cutout band. What we did this year is we put a broadleaf underneath it, and then we laid the stamped-out band on top of it because it gave a beautiful silhouette of the lady, and I love that. And then the stamp band, I wanted to add layers of colors, but we could only add red to it this year because it just takes forever for this stuff to dry. I mean, you'd be shocked how long it takes it to dry. And so that's where we wanted to go. So that's how that came to life.
Wow, that to me is super interesting. I don't know if that's – I hope that's interesting for everybody else. I think that's really cool.
But you know why, Robbie? You know, what I hate – and, you know, I know we have beautiful ornaments and stuff on this. But when I'm smoking a cigar, I don't want to be distracted from – like, I had to take my – like, we have a foot band on the Sierra Esteli. I move it up to have, like, a much bigger band. And then because I have to wear glasses because I'm older. I have to put these on to find where the seam is. The trunk show thing was, dude, I don't want you to do anything. Light up the cigar and go on a quick little vacation and let the cigar take you where it needs to take you, where your happy place is. So I didn't want you to work. It's almost like Chinese food where they chop it up really tiny for you because the chef's mentality is, I don't want you to work to eat my preparation. I want you just to taste what I created for you. And that was kind of the mentality behind that as well.
I love it. That's a good explanation. Hey, Logan, how are we doing on time?
We are getting up near it.
Okay, because we still got to do these giveaways. I want to ask one last question. And, yeah, we're going to have you back on, Michael, because we've got a ton of stuff still here to cover. So I apologize for missing out on some of these questions. And this one, I think the answer to this could be really long, so let's keep it to maybe two examples. And this one's from Joe Jordan as well. It says, what are some of the most memorable things E.P. Carrillo taught you about cigars and the cigar business?
He taught me that it's always about tobacco and that never skimp on quality. That's the same mantra that we have at General Cigar. If you don't believe in the blend yourself, don't ever put it in the marketplace. Kind of understood that as well. But it's always about if you don't like the blend and the people that you trust with great palates don't like the blend, don't do it. Don't pressure anybody. Not that I ever have that pressure. But I never, ever, ever, if I don't feel it in my heart and in my soul and in my head, I don't launch a product. And so, you know, what's happened is, and the greatest compliment I've gotten is from our master blenders in our factory. I'm the most difficult guy to work with. And I said to him, good, because you know why I'm difficult? Because I'm not looking for mediocrity. I'm looking for this up here. And you need to kind of up to here with this. So please don't take this personal. This is not what I'm looking for. And what's happened is I've raised the game of our guys because they understand what I'm trying to achieve. And they already get that, but I wanted to raise the bar on a higher level. And so I love when people tell me I'm difficult. I'm not difficult. I just know what I want. There's a vision behind this. And so, I mean, you know, and that's kind of who I've always been. And Ernesto and I as a team were always that way. You know, we were always on the same page with blends and packaging and everything that we did. And I think that was just inherent in both of us. I think a word that everybody likes to use is passion. It's a passion. I'm a cigar guy first, and I happen to be in an industry that I love. So when I smoke cigars and I smoke everybody's cigars, I'm like, I like this, I like this, I like this, I don't like this. And it's personal taste, but it's also, you know what, you could have done this a little bit better, and here's what I would have done. And I think that's kind of a bit of a perfectionist attitude because you're never happy with what you're done. But what a perfectionist understands is that you need to let some things go because perfect to you is really perfect to a lot of people. And if you don't realize the difference, you'll never get anything done. And that's kind of a crazy way to get to that. The other thing is, you know, what Ernesto taught me is, you know, we just made a great team. We were yin and yang. We're still great friends. We still talk. I'm happy for him and his industry. I know he's happy for me and what I'm doing. What I really respect is he tells me, bro, you're doing a great job with La Gloria Cabana. It means a lot because he was the owner of the brand. He went off to do his own thing. And for me, I have a legacy that I have to keep up with. I felt that I had big shoes, but I knew I had the big shoes to fill. And, you know what? It's never been intimidating. I knew what I wanted to do, and I've always known that. When we started working on La Gloria back in the day, I mean, I was responsible in part with Serie R when it first came out, with El Rico Habano, with Reserva Figurados, with all the Serie R Limitadas. I mean, I was involved in all this creation of that behind the scenes. So his job was to work on making cigars, and my job was to worry about everything else. So that training came along as I worked under him. What he did do, he's one of my great mentors in the industry, as is Benji Menendez, who's another great mentor. I mean, you can't go to school to work under these guys and listen to them. And the greatest thing that I learned is shut up. Listen to what these guys are saying to you, because these guys are a handful of people in the industry. And, again, there's not a book where the knowledge is laid out there. You have to listen, and you have to listen intently, and you gotta want, and you want to listen because these guys are teaching you about this business. So I've been schooled very, very well. What I do is I want to push the envelope in a different way. These guys are very classical guys, and I think way out there. And so that's the greatest things I've learned.
No, that's great. And you actually, I had a quick follow up question that was from Nicholas Smith. Is if you did you feel any pressure, you know, taking over after Ernesto left? And you just answered that too. So that's sometimes that's the toughest part is to listen. But you've been dropping knowledge on us tonight. We've been listening too. So we've definitely enjoyed it. I know the guests have enjoyed it. I think this might be a record as far as how many live viewers we've had tonight. So. Top last week's record. So we're actually on a pretty good roll here. So we do appreciate you coming out. I know we're running up against time. We've got some giveaways to do. So Logan, let's talk about these giveaways. We've got two boxes and yep. three humidors. I'm gonna pick one of the humidors. My favorite question of the night was from Fat Kid, and I can't remember what the question was, but I did like it. It was a good question. We all commented on it. I'll find out which one it was. But bringing the blends quickly and, you know, blah, 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 relying on your core line. So I'm going to pick him. He gets the one that I already opened and has my fingerprints and stuff all over it. I'll try to delouse it for you, Fat Kid, before you get it. So let's. Hey, we've Rob. Got.
Oh, hey, Rob. Rob, yeah. Why are we giving two boxes away and three humidors? We got to equal these up.
You gave us three boxes, but we had a giveaway that we started today, and it's going to end. It's going to end tonight. So
to drive traffic, bro.
Yeah. So we've got another one. We've got another one going out the door tonight. So if you do miss out today during the show, you can still get in on that one. So.
Yep.
So I think we should pick, maybe let's do one box random, and then maybe pick, I don't know, you can pick one of your favorite questions, or what do you want to do?
Are you talking to me?
Yeah.
I know who I want to win a box. Not that he asked a question, but he has the last name of one of my fraternity brothers. It's near and dear to my heart. It was in my wedding. Sam Friedrich, you just win a box. Congratulations.
Congratulations, Sam. Sam's a new. I don't recognize that
name. He's brand new, and he's new. So
there you go, Okay, so we're gonna do. Let's do everything else random. So we've got one box and two humidors that we're gonna pick random. So we're gonna have Michael pick some numbers here.
Eight.
All right, number eight, and this is for a humidor.
Are you talking to me?
Yeah, we picked number eight.
Well.
Sorry.
Hold on a second.
I thought you were ready, man.
Dude, no. Hold on. 1, 2, 3, 4. You know who it goes to? Coop.
Cigar Coop.
I don't know. Does he count? Yeah, he counts.
Coop counts.
Congrats,
right,
Coop.
Coop and Charlotte.
We love Coop.
Yeah.
I know, but hey, he's on there because he's got his show starting up, I think.
Yeah, his show's coming on next, so.
Whatever. Okay, Coop, congrats. Good job.
Okay, so we need what? Two more. So we've got one more box and one more humidor.
Correct.
So we're gonna pick. You want to have Michael pick some numbers there for those two?
Yeah, let's just do it.
All right, Michael, give us.
Blackjack. 21.
21.
Oh,
and this will be for the next humidor. And then the last one will be.
There's too many damn people in the chat. Approximately, Lou. Paulino.
Paulino. Oh,
all right.
There you go, Lou.
Good job, right. Lou.
And we've got, let's see, one more box to give away. So
64 for the ring gauge I'm smoking.
We will go with Tim Roll, West Sider.
West Sider. He's another new guy, too. I don't know.
I know.
All right, so we've got took care of all of our giveaways. We've got, if you guys missed out, if you look on CigarFederation.com, there is one more giveaway. You can sign up to the raffle copter. We're going to pull that winner tomorrow morning, I believe, and we'll let that person know, and that's for the third and final box. Michael, thank you so much for taking the time. We're definitely going to – I'm going to hound you guys to get you back on here because we've got a lot more to cover.
Logan, yeah. Thank you. I mean, whenever you want to – I love – What's great for me is that, you know, there's people interested in what of my passion in life and that you want to listen. So anytime you guys want to do this, I'm here.
Great. We appreciate it. Since we're wrapping up here, give everybody where they can find you guys on social media. You guys are active on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram and all that. So give everybody all those addresses.
LaGloriaCubanaCigars.com or LaGloriaCigars.com. We're on there. We're doing giveaways. We're doing the same thing you guys are doing. We're always out there trying to give some interesting things. Check us out. You'll find out about Siri R. Esteli and Siri R. Black. There's a lot of information that we put out there, and I do answer them as best I can.
Okay. And you guys are on Twitter and Facebook, all under La Gloria as well. Again, Michael, thank you so much for taking the time. All this,
thank you guys, Rob.
Generous with these giveaways, you guys are gonna. Oh,
well timed, sir.
Yeah, that was good. So again, guys, thanks for checking out Cigar Chat on CigarFederation.com. You can find us. We're on Facebook, Twitter, everything Cigar Federation. I'm Robbie Raz. You can find me at Robbie Raz on Twitter. Logan is Logan at Dell, Corporate Monkey on Twitter. We've got another show. We're gonna be on Tuesday again next week with the holiday. So. We've got Cabal Cigars. It's a new cigar out of the Kellner Boutique Factory in the Dominican, so we're excited to talk to – I want to say his first name's Chris. I really hope it's Chris because I'm pretty
Chris
sure it is.
It's Chris Adolfo, and
We met Chris at IPCPR, and he's a lot of fun. It's a great cigar. So we'll talk about that next week. Thanks again for listening on the Armed Forces Radio Network. We are every Wednesday. I believe we're at kind of in the morning and at night, kind of 9:45-ish. You can find us on, you can download our podcasts. We're on iTunes or at podcast.cigarfederation.com. Thanks for everything, guys. We appreciate it, and we'll talk to you next week.
Later,
thanks
people.
Thanks a lot, Michael. Take care, buddy.
Thank you, guys.